To all God's beloved in Laramie who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Are we there yet? I hear some sighs of recognition. How many of you have heard that whiny cry coming from the back seat on a long car ride? Lots of nods, yep. Now, how many of you are guilty of saying that yourselves? I saw Lily's hand go boom. Now, if my parents gave us kids a map on a long ride, like when we drove from way up north in Wisconsin, way down to Florida, that usually helped somewhat to keep us quiet. But the questioning mostly happened when we were driving home from Minneapolis or St. Paul from a family gathering. My brothers and I would fall asleep in the dark, wake up disoriented, and wonder where we were, only to be pretty much coming on that last hill on Highway 8 heading into Barron, 4 miles away. Now, we didn't realize how close we were because we had passed through that last town just as we were waking up, and that buzzing metropolis of Poskin, population 20, is one of those blink and you miss it sized towns. Today's gospel reading has hints of, are we there yet? A blink and you miss it summary. Good news in the midst of confusion and indecision. And the promise of God with us. Christmas Day is still a week away. And we are still in the season of Advent. However, the fine folks that assembled the Revised Common Lectionary and its predecessors decided to give us this Christmas teaser for the fourth Sunday of Advent. This birth narrative we hear in Matthew isn't the longer, more florid, bucolic scene from Luke that we hear on Christmas Eve. In this one, here in Matthew, there is no trek to Bethlehem, no shepherds, no gifts, and only one angel. And it's told from Joseph's perspective and can be distilled down to a blink and you miss it, 1.5 verses. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. Joseph had no marital relations with Mary until she had borne a son, and Joseph named him Jesus. Of course, there is more to the story than that 1.5 verses. This is actually pretty meaty, involving marriage contracts, righteous living, angels, dreams, fulfillment of a prophecy, good news, and an ever so tiny hint of what is to come. This story marks the beginning of a journey that ultimately leads us to the cross. Now, at the time this was written, if you were engaged to be married, this commitment was not taken lightly. A marriage contract was a binding document. Mary and Joseph had completed the first step. The marriage had been arranged, the contract drawn up, and they were betrothed to each other. Then, Mary's pregnant. Now, Joseph basically has two options. Assuming that Mary had been unfaithful, Joseph could have had Mary stoned to death. But being a righteous man, he wanted to spare Mary from public humiliation, so he decided to quietly divorce her. He thought everything was sorted out. But then an angel comes and sorts Joseph out. In a dream, the angel tells Joseph 4 things. 1, marry her. Because 2, the child's of the Holy Spirit. So, number three, Mary did not commit adultery. And when the child is born, number four, name him Jesus. Joseph awoke, trusted what had been told to him, and did as he was told. He followed through with the second part of the marriage contract and took Mary as his wife, and they abstained from having relations until the baby was born. Then, as the angel commanded, Joseph named the baby Jesus. But wait, wasn't that baby supposed to be named Emmanuel? Well, scholars generally agree that the baby was to be named Jesus, but in being called Emmanuel, this would indicate why the baby was born: to be God with us. Whatever the name, Jesus, the one who saves, is Emmanuel, God with us, even if they couldn't get his name right. This is just one way in which the Holy Family seems almost utterly normal. Should we name the baby this or that? When are we getting married? Where will we live? Have you been faithful? The complexity and confusion present in this young family show us today that there is nothing exceptional about them, save for how God came through these ordinary, mixed-up people in order to save ordinary, mixed-up people. God came to us through a birth like millions of other births to promise us freedom from sin and death and to promise us rebirth as children of God. This God with us isn't always just good news, but both good and even bad, depending on who you think God is, how you think God is active in our world, and who you need God to be. God is with us when we think, "Oh, I'm so glad that God is my best friend. I have so much to tell him, and I'm so very thankful that he is in my life." God is with us when we think, "Oh, crap, I'm a mess. My life is a mess. I don't want God to see me. I don't want him to call me out." Both and. God comes to us in the good and in the bad. God comes to us as a tiny baby who is both fully human and fully divine. God is with us. God with us as we work together and sometimes against each other. God with us as we abandon each other and support each other. God with us in diapers, fully dependent on his parents. God with us in conflict with the leaders of his community. God with us, conceived by the Holy Spirit. God with us, born of the Virgin Mary. God with us. God at the dinner table with barbecue sauce on his forehead. God at the dinner table lifting the cup of wine to his lips. God with kings and rulers. God with the prostitutes and the drunkards and the outcasts. God with us. God with us at our best and at our worst. God with us in our anger and in our joy. God with us in the wood of the manger. God with us in the wood of the cross. God with us to the end of the age. Amen.